This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We're live. It's Tuesday. It's the 14th of May. Leanne and Sia and I were just talking about how Sia's got, he's got a very sore throat this morning, which is what I had for 2 weeks, and it felt like it'd never go away, and then eventually it goes away. It's so shit.
My throat is on fire.
Mm-mm.
How did I sound to you in retrospect?
Yeah, but so every time Sia gets a little bit sick, he thinks he's definitely dying from this, and then he goes, oh, no, it's not just a cough, it's not just a sore throat, this is definitely throat cancer.
Saying my final goodbyes.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to die, I'm writing my will at the moment.
I'm sure that 8 out of 10 people think, oh, throat cancer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it's normal. And it's quite common, actually, to have throat cancer.
Oh, stop it.
Here we go, Leanne.
Listen, the point is, we all jump to the conclusion that the absolute worst thing is going to happen. I mean, Leanne was saying this morning, so she's definitely going to die of a stroke or a heart attack.
Soon.
And if not now, because you're doing the show early in the morning, definitely a car accident.
Yeah, definitely.
What makes you so certain?
Life experience.
Yeah, sure.
Watching and other people drop down dead beside you.
Yeah, and paranoia and hypochondria in huge, big dollops.
And diagnosed anxiety.
Yes,
what's your definition
of... You understand, most of this is living in your head.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I should write an I told you so thing.
Do you remember we had
that should be the obituary.
We had that guy in here who's doing that DNA analysis stuff where they're busy... They take your whole DNA genome thing and they decode it, and then they eventually figure out, okay, well, you've got a likelihood of developing this problem. And
do they use your spit?
Yeah, the inside of your cheek, you do a swab.
Mm.
I think he came in like last year or something.
So I went yesterday because they said to me, you've got to come and do this thing. Mm-hmm. So I went and did it, and they'll give me the results in a week, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Ooh.
But they'll tell you, for example, if you have... any problems with metabolizing certain kinds of food. They'll tell you if you have insulin issues. They'll tell you if you have a likelihood or a propensity for certain kinds of diseases.
Like Alzheimer's.
So this is one thing that Leanne should never do because it would make you even more paranoid, more anxious.
Well, it's all going to come out positive and then...
all of it's going to.
What's the process like? Is it a lab? Do you do it in an office?
You sit in a boardroom, mm-hmm. and they bring you this pack which has got this sealed tube with a little like a cotton bud mm-hmm. you would use, and it's a long cotton bud, and you just have to rub it on the inside of your cheek, and then you put it back into the thing, and you twist it closed. And then they send it off to the lab, and they basically break down your DNA. They only need a few of your cheek cells,
mm-hmm.
and then they can get enough DNA out of that.
I hope they don't say you're made out of, like, tomato DNA.
Well, imagine
that. Gareth, you're half tomato.
That would be hilarious. I'd be thrilled. Of course, they wouldn't be able to tell anything about any of the useful stuff. But they do it for... They also tell you whether or not you've got the kind of muscle that recovers well from injury.
And this,
that sort of thing.
And it's got nothing to do with those tests that tell you where you're from.
No. I mean...
Because those tests do both.
Yeah, these
if you want them to.
No, these are quite specific in medical.
Okay.
Those ones are much more about kind of roughly where in the world your genes come from. And remember, you've got two kinds of DNA in your cells. You've got the nuclear DNA that is half your mother's and half your father's.
And then your tomato DNA.
Yes.
No, so the nuclear
from
DNA.
Whatever you ate.
Your nuclear DNA, it encodes all the RNA through your cells and through your different the operations of the body. And that kind of is like your operating system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your...
Your OS.
Your Windows or your iOS or whatever it is. And it sends the right proteins around to do the right things. And... you're essentially managed by your DNA, and actually your DNA is really just using you as a vehicle to make more of itself. So if you really want to get philosophical, selfish. You don't exist. You don't have a soul. You are not important. You do not fit into any kind of scheme. There's no God watching over you. Your DNA is just trying to make more of itself.
So selfish.
That's what it is. Your whole scary. This bag of meat and bones and things that you are is just a vehicle for your DNA to keep procreating.
And a vehicle for throat cancer.
Sure, in Sia's case. But that's obviously a very cold and hard and uninteresting way of looking at things, because we all know that as a result of consciousness and lots of other things, there's a lot more going on than just pure DNA biology. Anyway, so you've also got in your cells mitochondrial DNA. The mitochondria are almost like organisms that live within each of our cells.
They're the powerhouses of each cell.
That's correct. They do something where they take fuel and they convert it into energy. And that energy powers each of your cells. It's the whole reason you're alive. And people surmise that what must have happened at some point is that we were almost attacked by a disease.
Oh?
One of our early ancestors must have been. That there was, or at some point in the animal evolutionary chain, because a lot of animals have mitochondria, as I understand it. So at some point in evolution, these things formed a symbiosis with whatever the outside living cell, the bigger living cell was. They said, look, we'll live inside you, and we'll make energy for you, but then you've got to provide us with the fuel, and we'll make more of ourselves because all your mitochondrial DNA comes from your mother. Because the cell itself, all the sperm is this vehicle, it's this little, it's this test tube of your father's DNA that gets, it's basically half of, provides half of the chromosomes, and your mother's DNA in her nucleus provides the other half. But these mitochondria all live in her egg cell that is eventually fertilized. Hmm. So you have these two unique sets of DNA that live inside of each of your cells.
Are there maybe not mitochondria in sperm cells?
No.
There's no way.
There are, no.
Sure. There's no space because it's so small.
Isn't it interesting to see how, you know, these mitochondria are actually like a nice analogy of how mothers turn out to be. They really house things. They nurture. Sperm cells, just like fathers, they come in, they just do their job.
Well, sure. Bad fathers from broken families, yes. Yeah.
So mitochondria are like electricity generators.
Yeah.
You have to give them fuel.
Yes, correct.
And then they make energy.
Yeah, that's right. And they are, there are sometimes a whole lot of them in a cell, and they're sometimes just one or two. But the whole reason that cells have any energy at all is because of these mitochondria. So they could be separate organisms. They might not be considered part of you, but they're in every single one of our cells. Without them, we would die. So it's an interesting symbiosis. It's something that we have going on all the time that we don't really reflect on. Because mm-hmm. we've only discovered that this is the case in the last couple of years, and we're only starting to understand now what they do and how they work. And it's incredible. And anyway, they do something where they convert the energy through what we call enzymes, and there's the citric acid cycle, and they do all these things with what they've got folded inside of them is something called endoplasmic reticulum.
Yes.
Excuse me.
My favorite.
Yeah.
One more time.
Endoplasmic reticulum.
And there's something called adenotriphosphate, which is the chemical that they use to smash carbon chains and create the energy.
I definitely bumped a lot of science classes.
It's all very cool. So there we go.
Biology.
That thing.
Biology.
Biology.
It's just not the same here.
So we could get into politics, but who really wants to this morning? Mm. Do we?
Mm-mm.
Not particularly. I did see one of my favorite people on TV the other day, Brigalia Bum. Do you remember her?
Yes. She was the electoral... Yes. The IEC chief, was
That's
she not?
That's correct. Brigalia Bum is the IEC chief. I always liked her. I thought she was great. She was one of those people who gave me faith in the IEC's independence. A lot of people worried about the IEC because of the double voting that was going on in this election.
Yeah.
But Brigalia got up there and she said, listen, we've got one of the best electoral systems in the world. And she said she was right in the thick of it during the elections for a very long time, and she's going to say that there's no problem. Stop panicking. You people are you're drama queens, basically.
I could sound modest, but I'm not going to be modest because I have had an opportunity to be all over on this, and I'm still serving in one of the groups that is working around the world on the best systems of elections. We are still leading, in spite of all these complaints that we have, on a number of things as South Africa. We are still very much ahead, even on, amazing enough, even on technology.
So, you know, because I think one of the things that a lot of people are unhappy about is the fact that there's just this inconsistency. Like in certain parts of the country, you don't have any technological advances in respect of vote counting or any of that stuff. And in other places, you've got machines that are doing the scanning and the ID checking and all of that stuff. So we need to have a way of figuring out some consistency through the system. But of course, this is all a big worry to that absolute genius, Claudie Motsoeneng. You know, when I look at him, this guy was in charge of the SABC.
Was he really, though? Is that the word to use?
Yeah, he was. He made decisions that they're still trying to cope with the ramifications of. This man was tremendously powerful. If you watch any interview, choose any interview you like. Go onto YouTube, type in the name Claudie Motsoeneng, and just watch any of them. And you will realize very quickly that he is a result of either malnutrition in his youth because his brain didn't grow quick. You know, we didn't have the right food to grow properly. I'm not being mean now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this because I don't like him or because I've never had an issue with Claudie. He was never my boss when I was at the SABC. I was out of there before he took over. I don't have an axe to grind with him. I don't know what his politics are, and I don't care. But when someone talks the way he talks, and when someone is as inarticulate, and this is not a language thing, you're not allowed to criticize someone if they have a, you know, an accent, or they have linguistic problems, or they're not very articulate, and they're not very erudite. In his case, it's none of those things. He has there's a problem, like there's a serious mental incapacity in this guy.
I think a personality disorder.
I think he's still being far too kind.
Yeah. Well, it's not a personality disorder either. He's not mentally ill. His brain is not working. If you were
drugs,
well, it's probably drugs. It might be drugs.
He's
drugs
so high on his own supply.
Look, if it's drugs, that's cool. Then at least we've got an explanation. But I'm saying that he is indicative of a much bigger problem. And if you talk to neurologists, which I mean, he's a perfect candidate to be studied. There are a lot of people in this country who've grown up, during your formative, those critical first 5-6 years of your life, if you don't get the right amount of food and you're malnourished, your brain doesn't grow properly. You actually have a cognitive disability. It's not like, you know, or you're a forceps birth where you're, the doctor pulls you out of your mother's womb, and this is why you see a lot of these people in politics. They've got very misshapen heads because their parents, they were pulled out of the mother's womb, and I'm telling you, there's some brain damage. Now, ask a neurologist. Don't take my word for it. I'm not a neuroscientist or a brain specialist at all. But there must be somebody who can look into this and tell us why someone who is. Because he's clearly, like, he's got street smarts. He can talk a good game to idiots. I mean, idiots will fall for what he's saying, right? But there's something about this guy that what's in the head is misfiring. There's a problem with the hardware. Like, the hardware is corrupt. It's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to take out the hard drive and smash it and put in a new one. Because this one is not, you know, when a computer gets the beach ball of death.
Yes.
It's got that little time thing that goes in the middle of the screen and the mouse won't move.
It's just time out.
And it's frozen. Like, you could see this look in his eyes sometimes. And I'm really not trying to be mean. And this doesn't come from a place of insulting Claudie because it makes me feel good.
It's an observation.
the guy's fucking, there's something wrong, man.
I can 100% agree with you.
Just listen to him and you tell me if you can disagree. This is not a language thing. This is not an education thing. He's not very well educated, but that's besides, I don't think he can be educated. There are some people.
He's hard-headed in that way.
Well, the hardware is broken. Now, you can't upload, education is software.
Mm.
You can't upload good software to a bad system.
Oh.
He's using MS-DOS
1990.
And we're trying to upload like iOS
12.
It just doesn't connect.
It's not going to happen, right? Just listen to this.
So do you believe that you will one day become president of the country?
I don't have any doubt. It's in my blood. I'm going to rule South Africa. Just wait now, because I'm going to have more time to make sure that we mobilize people of South Africa. I'm going to change it. I know the current president, he is not going to be able to deliver. It's just promises, promises. Me, I'm not a promise. I don't know what is promise. I'm a doer. And people of South Africa, they know that.
All right, so drugs, in the bro. Background, you hear Andile Mngitama. Now, the reason I draw any attention to him is because he's not, his hardware's not broken. He's a sideshow. He's an attention seeker and he's screaming and shouting about things. And, you know, I don't think that when Andile goes home, he believes any of the bullshit that he's talking about. He's finding ways to stoke people up and to get them all uptight about stuff. But he's not, like, I don't think Andile's unintelligent. I think he's got some bad ideas and I think he's an attention seeker and all those things, but he's not like Cloudy. The wheels are not turning. You know, when he talks like I will be president, he said in an interview with Francis Hurd, which I watched over the weekend. I mean, I started laughing. I put it on. I've got a speaker in the shower and I was getting ready to go to my nephew's birthday. And I had this on the speaker in the shower with Cloudy and Andile being interviewed together, which is hilarious because they both, like, just such a bad reflection on what has happened in a country that's got 25 years of democracy. And we've got people like this who are genuinely running for office.
Right.
Like,
and they make it there.
So for very different reasons.
That's
yeah,
the
they
thing.
Do. I mean, both of these guys got, Claudio got some 4,000 odd votes. Andile got some 18,000 votes. But these two, it's like watching a comedy routine, except they're very, like, Cloudy's very serious. Andile's putting on a show. I think he's a self-conscious fraud, Andile. But Cloudy, he means it.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the reason he lost is because someone was plotting against him. It's just incredible. I was watching.
It's delusion.
I was listening to this in the shower, and I just started laughing. Like, this is such a bad reflection on basic education, on the quality of individuals who are standing for office in South Africa, and 4,000 people voting for Cloudy. I mean, you know, it's hard work to get 4,000 people to do something.
Mm-hmm.
4,000 people. I don't know what you do for a living, but this morning you have a job to do. You are not going to do. It's highly unlikely that something you will do in your job today or during this month will impact 4,000 people that requires them to do something voluntary. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a big job. I mean, 4,000 people. This guy managed to convince 4,000 people. Now, I know we've got problems with fetal alcohol syndrome. I know that there's certain parts of the country in particular where, you know, the mothers drink while the kids are inside of them. And the kids come out all fucked up. And I know that there are people who take drugs. And I've been to the Pretoria Academic Hospital where they show you these jars full of, like, deformities.
Mm-hmm.
Like these mutants who are born.
Goodness.
Where they've got two heads or they've got one big eye in the middle of their big googly head. And they've got six arms coming out like an octopus around their torso. No, there's some serious fucking, like, we talk about genes, which is where this whole thing started.
Yeah.
Like, there's some genetic anomalies and some bad things in this country. Nobody even talks about incest, but that's also going on. And what you get as a result of all of those things is some really screwed up versions of humanity. The hardware that we were talking about with Cloudy.
And but then you add to it bad software, including upbringing, education,
and abuse,
society,
and people who, you know, their dad comes into the room and rapes them every night. I mean, that's gonna upset any operating system. And you know, I watch this and I think, wow, we've got a ton of work, because I always say that this is the best time to be alive, and we've got a lot of good things going for us, and you know, humanity's never had it this good, and I think that's true. But I watch these kind of people, and I saw this, and I did laugh at Claudia and Andile, because they're ridiculous. They're both ridiculous people. If anyone was watching this anywhere else in the world, India, China, Russia, Brazil, and they watch this, they'd say, listen, South Africa's hilarious. We can see how they produced Trevor Noah, because they've got hilarious comedians. And we'd have to go, no, those two are not comedians. They're deadly serious. In the case of Claudia, he is. I still think Andile's, I don't think he's serious. I don't think he's a serious person. It's amazing, right?
Tracking,
it is amazing.
Yeah.
Tracking the elections over the past couple of days, I've been having those moments of laughing, but then this shocking and jarring reality of, like, why are we feeding this, though? Why aren't we calling these people out? Why are we almost condoning their ways?
I think a lot of people sort of feel sorry for them, because maybe they've got someone like that in their family.
Mm-mm.
You know, maybe someone's got like a retarded aunt or something, that, and they go, yeah, we've got that in our family.
Look, I like my fair share of crazy, but I don't like taking them seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, not naming and shaming ENCA in particular, but we do condone and give these people airtime.
I mean, Chester Missing's also retarded, but he's got a job there.
We feed this monster. I was watching one of their anchors at The Rock over the weekend.
Yeah.
And he went up to a UDM member.
Yes.
And said, well, there's nothing left to say here, ma'am, except shame. And he said it with a smirk on his face.
My God.
I really did giggle, because it was just awkward.
That's such bad journalism.
No, man, we are feeding this, because now even news is an entertainment moment, and we want this to trend, and we want people to talk about it. And we want to, of course, now there's a news editor going, grab Cloudy. Give him 8 minutes on air and let him be.
Because it will be good for ratings.
Sensationalism.
You know,
we're like, feeding these monsters.
There are certain things that we've lost the ability to discern what is actually useful and what isn't. And we've got to get to the news, so I don't want to stick on this too long. But like, normally someone like Cloudy would be, he'd be standing in his underpants on the side of the street, hollering into the sky, like screaming. Because they've always been
One of those mad street people who have signs saying that the end is nigh.
Yeah, right. And they've always been people like that throughout history. They've always been these weird aberrations that have come out because, I don't know, I'd love to just know what's going on in Cloudy's genome. I'd love someone to sequence that, because there are big gaps, or else it's just junk DNA. I don't know what's going on.
His idea of, if he can do it, then so can I, is misconstrued.
Yeah, he's
just exaggerated.
Zero. He's got no. Francis Hurd said to him in the interview, like, you realize that it could just be that you are out of touch with reality.
Mm.
And it just never occurred to him. He was like, no, it's definitely, you've got an agenda. It's definitely you. And then he points at her, and it's just,
well, he's been given the confidence now as well.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, of course. I mean,
and like, he's going to believe it even more.
You know, he thinks that there were thousands and thousands of votes stolen from him. So does Andile. They think that there's some kind of conspiracy to prevent them from being the brilliant people they know they are. And the rest of us who don't get them, we are not there yet.
But last
They're
point,
ahead of us.
Last point on this, I was actually chatting to a friend about this on Saturday. I said, if it was one of the top four parties saying that, maybe we would entertain it. Even if we doubled the BLF's vote, even if we doubled the ACM vote, what difference would it make in the greater scheme of things?
Still wouldn't have a seat. Anyway. Yeah, well, okay.
Five things.
That's all we got time for in this opening discussion about everything from DNA to Cloudy Motsweneng. But let's get to the five things you need to know today. A couple of news stories. Some of them have to do with the election, and the ANC is announcing its premiers. Do you want to hear who's been announced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so They finalized the names of the premiers for the 7 of the 8 provinces that the party governs.
Yes.
Which one don't they govern? The West Island.
The Western Cape. West Island.
Yeah. Eastern Cape's got a guy called Oscar Mabuyane. Don't know anything about him, do you? No. Free State, Sisin Tombela. Don't know anything about that person. I don't know if it's a he or a she. David Makura remains the premier of Gauteng by a sliver.
Yeah.
They held onto the province for 50.2 or 50.3%. It's as narrow as a margin is able to be. Sitle Zikalala is the KwaZulu-Natal premier. That's expected. Limpopo Stanley Matabata. Mpumalanga Refilwe Mtsweni. And the Northern Cape, Zamani Saul. So the party's not announced a candidate for the troubled Northwest. Do you know why?
Because it's difficult, because it's so troubled.
because you remember Supra Mahumapelo was there, and they've got big problems in terms of trying to figure out what the pecking order is in that province. Because really what happens in the ANC is that you're in there long enough, and then your turn comes. You get rewarded for just being a loyal member.
Mm.
That's kind of how they appoint people. So they never appoint someone on merit or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good. Boy.
Secretary General Ace Magashule said a premier candidate in the Northwest would be announced in due course following internal engagements, which means they're going to be fighting in that province for a while, and the people of that province can't expect service delivery anytime soon. So that's the 8 ANC provinces. The 9th province, which is the DA's, they still have to discuss who they're going to nominate as the premier of that province. Okay, Magashule, while we're on Ace Magashule, he's also in the news for other reasons. There is a huge amount of fallout. The press is speculating that Ace Magashule and President Ramaphosa are not talking to each other, but he says no. He says there's no fallout between him and the president, saying claims that he doesn't get along with the leader are nothing more than rumors. He says, no, there's no fallout between me and the president. We work as the leadership of the ANC. We're a collective and we move as such. Now, unless you have a hive mind, like the ants in an ant heap or the bees in a hive, which you don't have because you're an individual sovereign human being, Ace, and so is Cyril, you cannot talk like this. We're collective. You're not. I run this business with my business partner, but we're still individuals. We will disagree on certain things. Sometimes we get along better than others. That's how humans are. So you can't deny your nature. He seems to think that he can jump into the hive mind whenever he likes. He's like, I'll plug into the matrix and then I'll unplug myself from the matrix. He says, I don't want to listen to rumors. He said he was working well with Ramaphosa, adding that anything contrary to this was simply rumor. And we're going to have to believe it. Because what do we know, right? Ace Magashule is one of those old school people who thinks that if he tells you something, it's true. The words are as strong as the deeds.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Tswane has confirmed a pupil has been shot and wounded during a robbery in the city. The city's Karen Mayor said the pupils were left traumatized. As far as we know, they were on their way from Brooklyn on an educational tour throughout the city when they were stopped at an informal settlement. Well, why are they doing this to kids? Sending school kids into informal settlements. What is there that can be learned in an informal settlement that can't be learned outside of an informal settlement? What is this poverty tourism? Why are they doing this? Why are they putting kids at risk?
Probably an awareness thing.
I mean, we know. No one in the informal settlement wants to be in the informal settlement. No one. None of them have ever gone, yeah, this is absolutely where I'd like to spend the rest of my life. So why are you sending people who are not from the informal settlement into the informal settlement? There's something about this, like, let's go and be with the poor. This patronizing, weird attitude that some people have about, like, let's go into the... I've been to the township a couple of times because I've had something to do there. I don't drive around the township every other day and go, oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you know, there's still tons of people.
Oh, there
who
are people
that.
Who love it. I mean, foreign visitors will come here and they'll go, oh, "Can we please go to the township?" And they'll say, "Sure, let's go to Soweto." No, I'm going to go to squatter camp. And you're like, but why? What do you want to see there? You're going to see a lot of people who are living in survival mode. You see a lot of people who don't have a lot.
But it's part of the experience.
Oh, come on!
It's the same to be said about tourists who go to India.
Yes, absolutely. They want to see those impoverished. There's something sick in this. I'm telling you, there's something very sick where there's someone who doesn't live in a township and they're constantly trying to get into the worst part of the township to see what it's like. It's a bit of, you know, being a voyeur. It's schadenfreude. It's voyeurism. It's sick. It's sick. It's wrong. You shouldn't do this. And don't send your children in there. You're going to traumatize. And then one of them gets shot and you go, oh, this is terrible. What do you think happens in informal settlements? You think it's all hunky-dory and people love it?
No, there's shit going down every day.
I wonder how it happened.
Stupid people. So anyway, they were in the informal settlement of Lusaka in Mamelodi when they were robbed at gunpoint.
Okay.
It's understood a group of pupils had been on an educational tour on Monday when they were approached by robbers in Mamelodi while disembarking from their bus. Well, if you're if you're a criminal who lives in an informal settlement and you see a school bus come in, you see opportunity. That's what you see. You don't see a bunch of other people's children.
I don't know. How much valuable stuff could school kids have on them?
You know,
the teachers might have money. There's money for lunch.
Jewelry, maybe.
You know, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, you're definitely carrying money for your lunch. And
all right, well, China. Let's move on to some international stuff. Remember, Anthea gave us a bit of a breakdown of the trade war that's looming between China and the U.S. So now it's full on, you know, salvos going on between the two countries. China said on Monday it'll raise tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods from the 1st of June, in retaliation for the latest round of U.S. tariff hikes and Washington's plans to target almost all Chinese imports. The announcement came after the latest round of U.S.-China trade negotiations. It ended on Friday without a deal after Washington increased tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese products. U.S. President Donald Trump ordered the start of the process to impose new duties on another $300 billion worth of Chinese items. So this is going to go ahead for some time still. It's all part of Trump says that China are basically in an abusive relationship with them and he's not going to take it anymore. So he's standing up to them. I'm not sure I buy the whole tariff thing, but he's certainly doing what he said he was going to do when he was elected. Do you remember this was part of his campaign? I know a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. They don't like to hear this stuff. I think tariffs are a bad idea. But do you remember he promised this? We're going to take on China. Do you remember him saying that? So you may hate him for all the right reasons, and you may be 100% correct about hating him as a human being. But man, when last did a politician actually do what they said they were going to do when you voted for them? This is interesting. Last story you need to know about today. The moon is steadily shrinking.
Oh, we're dying.
Causing wrinkling on its surface and earthquakes, or moonquakes as they must be, according to an analysis of imagery captured by NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which was published on Monday.
What does it mean for us, and in terms of tides and all sorts of things?
Well,
if it's not throat cancer, it's the moon shrinking.
This is it. So the moon's crust is brittle. Those forces cause the surface to break as the interior shrinks, resulting in so-called thrust faults, where one section of crust is pushed up over an adjacent section.
I've been on a date where there were thrust faults.
As a result, the moon has become 50 meters skinnier over the past several hundred million years. Several hundred million years.
Yeah, so we're okay.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff is always interesting, but its actual effect, I mean, if you have as many generations of grandchildren and children and generations that come after you as have come before you, then the ones right at the end might be affected by this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that far. Several hundred million years. I mean, humanity's maybe our species has been around maybe a million years. Maybe. Before that, there were other things that resembled us, but there wasn't Homo sapiens sapiens. So just stop panicking. We're talking about several hundred million years. But the Apollo astronauts began measuring seismic activity on the moon in the 60s and 70s, finding the vast majority occurred deep in the body's interior while a small number were on the surface. The analysis was published in Nature Geoscience and examined the shallow moonquakes recorded by the Apollo missions, establishing links between them and very young surface features. It's quite likely the faults are still active today, said Nicholas Schmer, who is an assistant professor of geology at the University of Maryland, who co-authored the study. You don't often get to see active tectonics anywhere but Earth, so it's exciting to think these faults may still produce some moonquakes. Obviously, if this was happening more rapidly, what would result for Earth is differences in the tides.
Mm.
and some of the other behaviors on the surface of our planet.
Well, I mean, it's widely believed that human behavior and personality changes at the time when the moon's at its fullest.
Can be affected by the tide. Or you mean the moon?
The moon.
Moon's proximity to us. Quite possibly, I mean.
People could go batshit crazy.
Yeah. All right, then I got an email from somebody who says, my name is Cooley and I do a podcast under our online Umbani Radio here in Connecticut in the US. We love Cliff Central. We just want to know how to get our podcast on your stream. Well, I've just told everybody that they can go to your stream and get it. So Umbani Radio, if you want to try that. Mm. I don't know what they do. If it's shit, don't blame me. She just sent me that email.
So Umbani means light.
Okay, in Connecticut, in the US. Very nice.
Maybe just bringing light.
Strength to you. Sia, someone has some info for you here. If it's not throat cancer or the moon shrinking, it's the killer.
The killer is out there.
And this is true. This is true.
Duncan says, I've always enjoyed it when you guys mock the Afrikaans accent. Can Leanne and Sia, do Sia's four-ways accent, please? Sia doesn't have a four-ways accent. He's got like a Durban.
But he does put on a...
four-ways.
Yeah, he puts
on an
accent.
When he's trying to sound like he's from four-ways.
Yeah, boots.
We mock everyone's accents.
When he was describing watching the rugby, he put on that accent.
I didn't realize I have a four-ways accent, no.
When you try to sound like one of the
like
boys,
the boots, you just gotta fit in there.
You sound like a four-ways.
Yeah, sometimes I just just gotta know your people. Gotta know how to tune them. Sorry, it sounds horrible. I'll stop it now.
All right. Well, let me tell you what else we've got coming up today.
Yes.
We've got Ryan. We've spoken to him a couple of times. Ryan Strummerett, who's the extreme swimmer. He's achieved feats like crossing the English Channel, swimming around Cape Horn, completing the world's official ice mile.
Cape Horn.
Yes, Cape Horn, which is the southernmost tip of
Africa.
South America. Cape Horn.
Oh, Cape Horn, yes.
Not Cape Porn. Cape Porn is like, that's what...
I don't know if I'd want to watch Cape Porn.
You don't know, hey?
No.
There might be some people worth watching in Cape Porn. Basically, he achieves a lot of things that leave us pretty much stunned, and he's going to join us this morning and tell us about his recent challenge. Some amazing swims that this guy's done. I think he's a lunatic. But we've checked in with him over the past couple of years as he's done several of these challenges, and some of it is fascinating. All right, because we're giving this, we're building up to something new. A lot of people are very into cryptocurrencies. Yesterday was a great day for Bitcoin. It's currently trading at $7,991. At one point, it was 36% up, which is incredible. Ethereum at $210, also nicely up. So if you have cryptocurrencies from 2 years ago and you're still looking at them going, oh my God, what's happened to my money? Hang in there because
it's hope.
It looks like it's starting to grow back up, which is very exciting. So a lot of people into that. And the reason I brought this up this morning is because we're going to soon be launching a very interesting new feature where we'll give you some excellent information, some useful stuff on all the alternate currencies, the altcoins as they call them, which are available, and some of the ones that you already know. And that's going to be starting off next week, so hang around for that. Ngobile, how are you?
Hi, morning. How is everyone?
Good, man. What's happening?
I've got a couple of rants to make. I just wanted to start with the Game of Thrones. I'm not going to spoil anything because
I think you've got to, it's like Endgame, the Avengers. Eventually, like the spoilers leak through because people can't wait forever to start talking about these things. So what do you want to say about Game of Thrones?
This season is the worst season ever.
Are you not really, dude? Because I'm loving it. It is just on such a scale. Everything is so enormous.
Garrett, I need to ask: do you follow the lore in the books?
No, I don't. Because I'm a geek. I'm a nerd for this stuff, but not like you're a super geek.
You see, what I've noticed is there's two different types of people. People who only watch the show and are fans of the show love what's happening. You know why? Because great acting, great direction, great production.
Sure.
But the writing is terrible because nothing makes sense. So the people who, I haven't read the books, but I follow the lore. People like myself who follow the lore and read the books hate what's happening because all the build-up from season one up until seven is now obliterated in two episodes, or should I say in three episodes, where everything that George R. R. Martin sets up is now completely off. The Azor Ahai is gone. What the hell? You know, there's so many things wrong, bro.
Okay, but really, can't you just enjoy the show? I mean, like, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars to create this epic scale. I mean, that fight in Winterfell, the Battle of King's Landing.
No, fight in Winterfell was the worst tactically inept kind of thing. It's so stupid. Remember a couple of seasons ago when Ramsay said we can just have 500 men. Or I don't know who said it. 500 men in the walls of Winterfell, mm-hmm. and we can defend 10,000. How can you put your best people, the Dothraki, outside the walls to be zombies? That is. But anyways, that's what I'm saying is that the tactical. I was checking even some channels, some people talking about. Medieval tactics. None of them were used. They didn't use the artilleries effectively when the White Walkers were up the walls. No one poured oil. Why? Like, so many things were thrown out the window for sensationalism.
Like, I don't understand. So the problem here is, like, it hasn't gone according to the books. You think that there's certain things they haven't thought through properly. Do you feel that they're rushing the series?
Yes. Look, like I said, the writing, direction, and the acting and the direction, it makes it beautiful. That's why we're accepting it. That's why we're loving it, because it's executed nice. But the writing and the overall direction is poor. Think of it this way. How can you build up, let's say, Gareth, you campaigning to be president for as long as you are, and you are very popular. People are like, yeah, Gareth's going to be the president. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes me and I become president. Like, that's so anticlimactic, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And there's no one paying attention to why did I become president? And the audience is like, okay, where did this dude come from? You know what I mean?
Okay, I get you. Who do you think is going to end up sitting on the Iron Throne at the end of all of this? And spoilers for anyone, you know, who doesn't want to, maybe you haven't seen this last episode. My God, I watched it twice yesterday. I was so into it. This dragon, it's this the craziness that goes on there. It's just absolutely incredible. These epic deaths, the Clegane Bowl dude. Come on.
Okay, look, I said I wasn't going to do spoilers, but since you brought up the dragons, I have to address it. Spoiler alert to all the people listening.
Yeah,
the dragon. That's triggered me the most.
Why?
Episode 4, you had two dragons.
Yeah,
one of them dies easy. And you had only, like, what, 10 ships of Euron that were aiming the scorpions at boat dragons, and only one dies. Fine. Okay, I understand. It's an animal.
Okay.
But then episode 5, last night's episode, all of a sudden, one dragon takes out hundreds of, or should I say, looks like tens and tens of ships, hundreds of ships, and many scorpions on the wall, and none of them fired. Does not make sense to me. I'm sorry. That is just nonsense. And all of a sudden, plot armor is thick. As for Arya, I cannot deal with how much plot armor she has. This is not what George... Ned Stark didn't have this much plot armor.
All right, so are you so pissed off now? Are you going to stop watching, or are you going to watch the final one and then just send a really rude email to HBO? I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm not that obsessive. I might look. Chances are I'm going to watch because I've invested.
Let me ask you something. They've got very little left for this final episode, right? I mean, there's nothing really left to do. It's just it's going to have to be Jon and Daenerys, kind of. You know.
Don't forget Sansa. Don't forget Tyrion. Aye. Don't forget that some of the other people are not confirmed as dead. Remember the dog ghost? We thought, that dog died because he was part of the Dothraki charge. Mm. All of a sudden, there's the dog. No scratch, nothing. So who knows? Maybe Euron is not really dead. Oh, maybe Cersei and Lannister and Jaime are not dead. Who knows? Because the writers have gone basically the other direction, and they're going for the unexpected for sensationalism rather than following the story arc of the character.
Yeah. Some people are going to listen to this and think the two of us are speaking Greek. I mean, Leanne doesn't understand any of this.
I have no idea. I can't say anything.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I know it's an unpopular opinion to not like the season because it's so beautifully shot and done. Mm. People, many, like 80% love it, 80, 20% don't like it. from what I'm seeing. But anyways,
Sia's gonna send me the link for we've got our own Game of Thrones death pool, and at this stage, I don't know who's in the lead, but we've each got a couple of people alive there still. So I think you're even on the list now.
We gave you
a category, dude.
Yes. Look, the next person definitely who's going to die, Jon or Daenerys is going to die. One of them is going to die. One of them has to die. Mm. Tyrion's definitely going to die as far as I'm concerned because she betrayed Dany. So that's for sure.
Yeah.
But between Dany and Jon, one of them has to die, unfortunately. Nice. One of them. Because you can see now the tension between the two.
All right. I loved it. I loved that second episode. And it just shows you chicks go crazy when you give them too much power, huh?
Wait, a friend of mine actually WhatsApped me last night. He said, do you see what happens if you don't give girl good D?
Yes,
and
exactly.
And I was like, wow, right. Wow, that is such a good point.
That's exactly right. All right, so Dre says, wow, this Game of Thrones caller sounds like such a loser. Does he know it's just fiction?
Well, I am a loser, man, so I'm cool.
I wouldn't call you a loser, but I've invested.
I'm a total nerd for this. Don't explain yourself. Tell the guy to fuck off.
I can't criticize it, but I understand where this guy's coming from.
All right. Thanks very much.
I now get it where Star Wars fans are coming from. You know what? It's also like how Generation people cry or the Mzansi Magic people cry when something stupid happens in those soapies that they... Like, I totally get it now. Like, yeah, it is stupid. How can you just do something just for the sake of doing it because you want...
What are we gonna do when this stuff's finished? Avengers finished. Game of Thrones is now gonna finish. Next week's the last episode. Star Wars is ending this year.
You know what? They call me Mr. Hate Everything. Endgame to me was satisfactory, but it also was not good enough. It was satisfactory, though. It was satisfactory because I liked the arc and the finishing. Not a lot of action. Like, the Thor thing, to me, I felt...
Yeah, Thor was very disappointing. Anyway, look, thanks very much, dude.
Thanks.
Loads of people won't understand a goddamn thing that Nobile and I were on about, but... Game of Thrones, man. It's like the biggest TV show in history.
Yeah.
It's huge. People have taken off work to watch episodes of this show.
I have an internal battle as to whether to just start this thing already.
Oof. There's such a backlog.
It's so good. You've got 8 seasons to get through here, and they really are. Like, for some of these characters, they just become such a part of your consciousness. You're like, well, I wonder what this one's thinking about that one, and I wonder how this one survived that. And it really does... like worm its way into your head. It's just great writing, and certainly I can agree with Nobile in the beginning as they started this whole story. And this George R. R. Martin's obviously a very, very talented writer, because you see what's happened is we used to like stories that were superficial because that was all the media had time for. Television didn't have these budgets to do these blockbuster epic TV series. They didn't.
No, all budgets were focused on film, on movies.
Yeah, so you'd get a sitcom, or you'd get, you know, your favorite character would be some idiot from a sitcom, and they were very shallow people. They would crack wise. If you look at Friends, none of those characters have any depth or story or... Yeah, you know, Friends used to be the biggest show on TV. They were not interesting people. They were made up fictional characters that were scripted into existence, where there was one liner dropped by each of them. There was never any serious meaning to anything that they did. And I know that I might be being unfair here, but comparing it to the life and death situation of the characters of Game of Thrones, who is also fictional and scripted, it just feels like there's a lot more going on with a series like that today than there was with a series that was on TV in the 1980s and 90s. And even in the dramas, there wasn't a lot going on by comparison. Because now they can do these monstrous, huge, epic scale, you know, city sieges, which was... TV didn't have the money to do that before. Look at how much we love these long stories now, these deep stories with 29, 30, 40 characters. I mean, so I watched Endgame the other day. Just to finish this off. And there are so many goddamned Avengers. So many they couldn't...
you can't keep up.
They can't fit them all on the screen.
Not enough
They can't fit them all. You open your eyes, there's Captain Marvel, and there's the Black Panther, and there's the chick with the red eyes, and there's the dude with the wings.
Oh, goodness.
So Captain America's running around, and you've got Thor, and you're like, what the... I can't concentrate. This is too much.
I've seen
for all 3 hours
the interviews on
like
talk shows.
A family reunion where you don't know which what person you need to talk to.
Yeah, I've seen the interviews on talk shows, and they fill the studio when they're coming for the interviews. And
it's too many Avengers.
Yeah, it's overbearing.
But I guess for the Game of Thrones team, it must be frustrating for them to spend so much time and energy on making these epic episodes, and then these minor issues come up. When they make those mistakes, like someone left the coffee cup in the scene.
Right.
And now there's a most recent photo that's come out with, I'll just go out and say, Jaime Lannister.
Jaime Lannister, where they show his hand that he supposedly lost in the one shot.
I'm pretty certain someone is getting fired based on what HBO's statement was. Because they said that Jamie's right hand did not appear on air, but the photo making the rounds on social media was possibly distributed by the digital team. And they say, it's still being researched. That means whoever clicked tweet is probably getting fired.
Yeah.
So shame.
Someone says here, hey guys, I fell off a hoverboard on Mother's Day with my kids.
Oh.
I got my whole ankle broken. I still woke up.
Oh, my word.
Listen to this. I still woke up at 3 a.m. for Game of Thrones. Dany must just be eaten by her own dragon in the end. Leanne and Sia deserve this Game of Thrones talk for the countless hours of Bachelor they made us listen to.
Sure, it's tit for tat.
Michelle says, ass, don't do it. I've never watched Game of Thrones and my life is okay. Yeah, but you don't know what you're missing, so you're in no position to talk about that. Cheers says, a top draw show that didn't get much attention at the time was Deadwood. Amazing writing and characters, all set in otherwise mundane background, especially the lead, Ian McShane. Yeah, Deadwood, I heard, was very good. Someone told me it was worth seeing. Maybe I'll watch that. Mobile, it was Chris Hemsworth's idea to make Thor turn into a bearded dad bod in Avengers Endgame. Well, it was a bad idea. They shouldn't listen to the actors. Actors shouldn't be giving important plot points. They should be doing what actors do, reading a script and delivering. Jesus, ask actors for their opinion on stuff. For heaven's sake. Someone says, I agree with Nobile, the battle plans were shit and everything is rushed. Such dumb decisions made by characters. However, I completely expected the twist last night. I've been calling Danny's turn many seasons ago, probably season 4 already. Predictions, Bran to sit on the throne or the throne is destroyed. Jon to go and join Ghost in the North, the end. So lots of people with predictions on what's going to happen in the final episode of Game of Thrones.
Don't you also find Game of Thrones very character heavy?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. There's
with Avengers,
people.
Yeah.
Right. You kind of have to, who's this guy? Oh, yeah, okay. And then he's got a backstory, and he's related to this one, and he's married to that. He killed that one.
I mean, in this Jaime Lannister hand situation, God bless whoever remembered that his hand was chopped off in season 3,
his hand has been fairly evidently missing for the entire series. But all right, yeah, move on. Let's get to Said by Sia. We really went down the rabbit hole in that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, my goodness.
All right, Sia, what do you got for us today?
Do you want to do it after?
No, let's do it.
Do it now? Okay.
Here we go. You're on.
This story for me is quite interesting, and I bring it up because, well, as corny as it sounds, I think we never truly realize the impact that we can make. So never disregard yourself in that front. There's a photographer based originally in Brazil. His name is Sebastião Salgado, and he grew up in Brazil but went around the world with his work up until he returned back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And he was stunned, for lack of a better term, to find that his hometown is now very dusty, very barren, and destroyed, for lack of a better term. And that's when he decided, you know what, this is not the type of life that I want for my country, and better yet for the earth as a whole. So he wanted to do something good for the environment. And that's when, in the late 90s, 1998 to be particular, that's when he committed to bringing back trees and growth in his part of Brazil. So back in 1998, I actually saw these pictures and they stunned me, really. It was just dry, arid land. Yeah. And he and his wife bought this piece of property. They started farming cattle. I mean, imagine that, from photographer to farming cattle.
Sure.
Just to make sure that he can sustain the earth. And now, in 2019, they've planted more than 2.7 million saplings of 293 species of trees. Huh. And they've rejuvenated more than 1,502 acres of tropical forest. Just because of them two alone, and focusing on this piece of land, 172 species of bird have returned.
Oh, my word.
33 species of mammals.
Wow.
15 species of reptiles, and another 15 species of amphibians have also returned. And you compare that photo to what they have today.
Oh, they've created an amazing forest.
It's absolutely amazing. So it's, my math is bad. 1998, carry the 4 minus the 2. That's 21 years, right?
21 years.
There we go. So it's a 21-year commitment, but you really do
feel like I haven't done enough now, you know?
It's just a commitment to doing something better, to changing the world for the better. They did it, and imagine what we could do in our lives. I mean, we don't all have the money to buy this huge piece of property, but what could you do today? Could you commit to, you know, just spending your Friday afternoons to helping kids read better? Could you, you know, just volunteer at your local SPCA for the next year? Imagine the change that you could do if you just committed to it.
Yeah.
That's the lesson I think we should all learn this morning from Said by Sia.
Thank you very much, Sia.
I like it.
All right, it's just after 7 o'clock and we have plenty more to come. We've got lots of interesting stuff for you today. We're going to be talking to, among other things, Ryan Strumrot, who of course is the extreme swimmer. We've spoken to him a few times. Loads of good stuff. Your calls, your messages, and your thoughts, 0797482090. By the way, if you've been trying to call our old number, the 0861-555, whatever it is, number,
189.
We've given that up. We've decided we don't need it. We've cancelled that contract because it was stupid. We had like 5 lines coming into the studio. We never had all 5 lines ringing at the same time. And it was unnecessary. People don't call in like they used to use Skype. You send a voice note, you send us messages. Here's someone saying, this is Ash. He says, episode 5 showed me what I might be like as a leader. And this is obviously to do with Game of Thrones. And that's really the article that I read just yesterday. Because you go down the rabbit hole with this. The Verge has got this article about how what Game of Thrones as a final showdown is about is what it means to be a terrible leader or what it means to be a really good leader. So maybe politicians are watching this show, you know, maybe they're the ones who are paying attention.
They could be.
Who knows?
It's their type of thing, man.
Yeah. So if you want to send us a message, 0797482090, there's lots of other good stuff to talk about and we will take your thoughts and your calls right now. You know what to do. Get hold of us and let us know what's on your mind. Also, some news. Leanne's got some stories. All of that coming up.
This is CliffCentral.com.